listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Kelly Jensen. This is September 9th, 2022, and today I'm going to talk about two delightfully delicious vampire titles, both of which are short story collections, to get you in the mood for all things fall and for the season of all things horror.
Today's episode is brought to you by Song of the Silk's Realms by Judy I. Lin. Xu Wei is a talented young musician who was orphaned at a young age. Her sole family is a kindly uncle, but then her uncle is killed, and she is, of course, devastated. With no family and no patron, Xu Wei is facing the possibility of a lifetime of servitude playing the qin. Then one night, she is unexpectedly called to perform for the enigmatic Duke Meng. He surprises Xu Wei further with an irresistible offer. Serve as a musician in residence at his manor for 1 year, and he'll set her free of her indenture. But the Duke's motives become increasingly more sus when he and Xu Wei barely survive an attack by a nightmarish monster. It's like, what? What's going on here? So this book is a sweeping epic romantasy that follows a talented young musician who is swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke. And who doesn't want to be swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke? She's living all our dreams, honestly. Make sure to check out the new book. And thanks again to Song of the Six Realms by Judy I. Lin for sponsoring this episode.
This episode is sponsored by The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy. Robbie and Trevor Cressmont have enough wealth to ensure they'll never be found guilty of any wrongdoing, even if everyone believes they're behind the deaths of their ex-girlfriends. Let us all take a collective angry sigh at that. Lauren O'Brien, the new girl at school, has a dark past of her own, and she's desperate for a fresh start. Except when she starts a relationship with Robbie, her chance is put in jeopardy. During what's meant to be their last weekend together, Lauren stumbles across evidence that might just implicate Robbie. And after a third death rocks the town, she must decide whether to end things with Robbie or risk becoming another cautionary tale. This is an edge-of-your-seat YA thriller that's perfect for fans of Karen McManus and Holly Jackson. Make sure you pick that up now wherever books are sold. And thank you once again to The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy for sponsoring today's show.
First up, A Small Charred Face by Kazuki Sakuraba, translated by Jocelyn Allen. So if you're looking for something a little bit different, then you're in a treat with this Asian vampire collection. It is a quiet read and plays around with different ways of seeing and understanding the creatures, as well as a really unique look at magic, what it is to be othered, and what it is to find, make, and build a family. A Small Charred Face is three loosely interconnected short stories about the bamboo, which are vampires from the mountains of China who thrive on human blood and on bamboo. They have been subject to asylum, as many have had to flee their homeland due to the fear of people who want them killed and who are working toward killing them. The bamboo ultimately choose to settle in Japan, and thus begins the first story in the collection of a bamboo who chooses to rescue a small boy once that boy's family has been killed. The two of them develop a really powerful friendship, despite the fact that a bamboo housing and caring for a human is against all bamboo law and could result in a huge penalty. And the fact that bamboo also drink human blood is a little bit of a tricky situation in this case. Bamboo also live really long lives of over 100 years, closer to about 120 years, and when the boy is rescued, he knows that he's been saved by an older bamboo, and throughout the story, the boy sees him through the end of his life. The story is actually quite funny. There's really sweet humor here, and I found it kind of reminiscent of What We Do in the Shadows, the film. And it's also this really sweet story of found family and what happens when one decides to buck the law or tradition in the name of creating a powerful relationship. This story sets the stage to give some of the history of the bamboo, and it offers us the character Kayo, who will appear in the second story. So the second story in the collection is about a teenage bamboo who was formerly a human, but who was accidentally turned into a bamboo when the mob hired monsters to murder her family, and she comes out of this quite different. So in this story, Kaio makes an appearance, and he's a high schooler in this story. So we get the opportunity to experience a whole different side of the bamboo here. Both the female bamboo and Kaio become linked deeply with one another through some of their hijinks and the more serious connection they develop. So in this story, they engage in some hijinks by tricking humans and sort of just like playing pranks on humans in a way that they build this bond and this connection that is really serious and deep and this really thoughtful look at relationships, but it's also kind of funny. And that second story then leads us to the third and final story, which goes back in time and we get a history of how the bamboo ended up in Japan in the final story. So we learn about when the bamboo originally lived in China and how it is two royal vampires who were teenagers helped save their entire species through this migration to Japan. It's a really neat collection of stories, and it's so interesting to see such a different take on vampires. It's also really rare to see books in translation in YA, let alone YA horror in translation, but this book is exactly that, and it'll appeal to readers who like quieter stories, as well as readers who are looking for a more contemplative look at vampires, their mythology, and what they represent as other. It's told out of order, so there's some reader patience that's involved to kind of put all the pieces together of this vampire lore and mythology and their history and how they came to Japan from China, but this is something I know that could in and of itself be appealing to so many readers that need to kind of take it slowly and peel the onion back and understand how it's all intertwined. So if you're looking for a different take on vampires, you will want to pick up A Small Charred Face by Kazuki Sakuraba, translated by Jocelyn Allen. And then my second pick I wanted to talk about today is Vampires Never Get Old, edited by Zoraida Cordova and Natalie C. Parker. So I'm going to start by saying, as somebody who has edited three anthologies and also reads a lot of anthologies, I can say without hyperbole that this one is pretty dang masterful in not only its structure, but also its format, the array of stories, and the arrangement of stories in the collection. Cordova and Parker made something really magical and ferocious and fun in this collection. I flew through it. I'm not a huge vampire story reader, despite talking about vampire stories here, but this one, I loved every story in it, and I thought that each story stands alone, but also they're so thoughtfully arranged in that they build upon each other and just create this whole collection of possibility about what a vampire story can be. Obviously, each story stands alone, as I mentioned before, but one of the things that the editors do is after each story, they have a short note about the vampire mythology from which the story was inspired. And it's a nice way to get both the story as it stands, plus some insight from the editors and some insight as to why this story belongs in the collection. Some of the favorites in here for me included First Bite by Victoria Schwab, which was optioned by Netflix, and it is available to stream now as a series, but it's worth noting because this is a queer story and a story by and about girls. It only got a single season before it was canceled. So enjoy it, but you won't get more of the adaptation here. The story follows a girl who is falling for another girl. One is a vampire and the other is a slayer. And, you know, things get a little bit complicated there. It plays really, really well, in particular with the tension of romance against that of instinct and what drives a person. And in this case, you know, what drives a vampire, what drives a slayer. It's just really good if you like that kind of tension. A couple other stories that really stood out to me as a reader were The Boys from Blood River by Rebecca Roanhorse and In Kind by Kayla Whaley. They landed really well with me. So Roanhorse's story is about atmosphere. And so if you like atmospheric horror, hers is going to stand out to you as well. It follows a queer boy named Lucas who lives in a small town, and he's grown up with this legend of the Blood River Boys. They can apparently be summoned through a song, And I kind of see that as the way the story of Bloody Mary works, where you have this incantation. If you say it at the right time, in the right place, you can summon Bloody Mary. But in this case, it is the Blood River Boys, and Lucas is determined to find out if this is true or not. So that's what the story follows. And then Kayla Whaley's story is a really great revenge story about a girl named Grace who is disabled, and she's killed by her father. And not only is she killed by her father because she's disabled, but he is celebrated for this. Unfortunately for her father, before she dies, Grace is turned vampire by somebody, and she now has a chance to confront her father and demand answers for his actions. Other contributors in this collection are Julie Murphy, who writes a vampire cheerleading story. There's a STEM theme story with a trans lead from Heidi Healing, and a really cool Gatsby-esque retelling about black vampires in New Orleans by Danielle Clayton. There's a whole bunch more, but those are some other ones that kind of stood out to me as a reader and kind of gives an idea of just how wide-ranging this collection is. Whether you like your vampires dark or cold, or you like them hot or funny, this anthology has something for you. It takes what a good collection of short stories does. It has stories that will work for every reader, or work for many readers, rather, and some which won't. I think a lot of readers, when they come into an anthology, believe that every single story should land with them, but the reality is a good anthology has stuff that will not land for a single reader. So you want an anthology that's going to have, for you, stuff that like stands out, and some stuff that you're like, eh, it was okay, wasn't really my jam, because that shows just how wide-ranging a collection is and how many different types of audiences will find something in it to enjoy. This one does that. Go for the ride in this one and stay for the stories that sink their teeth into you. I had to put that line in there. And if you got to this part of the podcast and you're like, geez, Kelly, thank you for saying that, you're welcome. I wanted to also briefly mention The Moth Diaries by Rachel Klein. I'm not going to talk about this one in depth because there's a great episode of Hey YA Extra Credit where Samantha Mabry and I sat down and did a book club discussion of this one. But it's another great and thoughtful vampire story that has dark academia vibes and is one of those, like, the author only ever wrote one book, and this is kind of a cult classic, if you will, a newer cult classic. So I recommend picking that one up and kind of going in either with just knowing that or listen to that backlist episode, which I'll link in the show notes, that may give you some more insight into why that particular story fits in our little vampire theme here. Thank you so much to our sponsor today. Thank you also to our editor, Jen Zink, and thank you for listening. For more recs or general bookishness, you could check out bookriot.com. And of course, don't forget to check out our full stable podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot in your podcast player of choice. You can find a list of books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/all the books. And remember, if you're a fan of all the books and all the backlists and you want to show us some love, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We really do appreciate your review, and they help other book lovers find us. If you want to find me personally, I am on Twitter at Veronica Kelly Mars, and I hope you have a good time reading. I hope you find something here you like. I hope you're able to just peruse a short story or two in either one of these collections. And until later, happy reading.